Chof Aleph Shvat, 27th of January, Rabbi Joseph Perlman, Daseres HaDibris.
Good morning. I know we've finished Parshas Yisro, but the Aseres HaDibros is so fascinating, and it's just the day after the Shabbos, and the Aseres HaDibros, of course, are relevant for all time. I thought we would look at some aspects of the hidden secrets of the letters and the numbers, etc. But just before we do that, I'd like to point out B'Shem, the late Rabbi Sassoon, Zichron Tzadik Livracha, that you find this very, very often, what we're going to talk about, and you can find it at the very, very beginning of Mishpatim. If you count the number of words in the first parasha of Mishpatim...
Pardon? Kain, you mean, or what, Kilbeah?
What did you say?
Kilbeah. Somewhere, from where to where?
The very first parasha of Mishpatim, first parasha up to the Samach, the parasha of Eved Ivri. It's a few pesukim. If you count the pesukim, the number of words, right, you'll find there are 76 words in the parasha of Eved Ivri. 76 is the gematria of Eved. If you count the letters of the parsha, you'll find there are 282, right, which is the gematria of Ivri. So the very, very first parsha of Mishpatim has in it Eved Ivri. Eved is the number of words, Ivri is the number of letters. So he said that you find this very often. I only heard that particular one from him, but apparently there is a lot of panimius in words and letters. And we're going to look at the Aseres HaDibros in that light. Now, I've made a list of things to try to make sure I don't forget too much. First of all, before you come to the Aseres HaDibros, we have a posuk which introduces it. If you count up the words in that particular posuk, you'll find there are 7 words, and there are 28 letters in that particular posuk prior to Anochi Hashem. And that's exactly the same as the first posuk of Chumash. Bereishis has 7 words, and it has 28 letters. So you can see that somehow or other that Bereishis is imprinted into the Aseres HaDibros. Right? That is not just an accident, there's a purpose in it. We find, as we go through, we'll find more connections with with Bereishis and the Aseres HaDibros. Now, if on the list, I've just pointed out that was number one. Number two, just to point out that when we're talking about the psukim, there are 3 different aspects at times. First of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said whatever he said. We don't know what exactly was said, but we know that Shomer v'Zachar b'Dibur Echad. So we know that probably HaKadosh Baruch Hu may have said both sets of Dibros at the same time. We can't be sure of what exactly he said. But then, the next question is, what was actually in the Luchas? Were the Luchas, in fact, both Luchas at the same time, like Shomer v'Zachar b'Dibur Echad? Was it, in fact, what was written on the Luchas? We can't be sure. It may well be that in the Rishami, the different shittas, some say that one Luach had one set of Dibros, one Luach had the other set of Dibros. So we can't be sure. But what we can be sure of is what we've now got in the Torah. And that's important, because that's what we're left with, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, is the Torah itself, and that's where we can learn from. We can consider what happened when Hashem spoke, whether Zohar and Shomer were in fact said together, were they written together, and all that. An aspect which the Midrashim and Mefarshim talk about. But as far as we are concerned, what we are left with is the actual wording in the Torah. And we know we've got two sets of luchos in the Torah, and the first one has a certain charm, and the second one has a different charm. We're going to see that there are numerous differences between them, and we need to know why did they change? What was it all about? So,
did with the... Charm. Did you say charm? Yes.
A-R-M.
Yeah. Now, going through the list so I don't forget too much, we're going to count the number of words and letters in the first Dibros. You'll find there were 172 words in the first Dibros. And the way to remember it, it's V'hoya Ekev Tishmion. What's Ekev? You should... Why use the word Ekev in the Parsha of Ekev? Answer, because that is a remez. You should listen to the 172 words of the Aseret HaDibros. But it's also the name, the gematria of Beka. When Eliezer gave the present to Rivka, he said, you are going to be the progenitor of the Aseret HaDibros. You're going to have children who are going to be Mekabel the Torah. And he gave a Shnei Smidim, which is the two luchas, Asora Mishkaram, there were 10 in weight, because they were 10 commandments. But it also says Beka there. Beka is 172 words. It's also, we say, you're going to make your Torah, you've got to be Koveya Itim Latorah, that's Keva, it's also 172. All these are marumas in the wording. Now, but the letters, there are 620 letters in the first Dibros. 620 is well known as the number of Keser. The Keser Malchus, the Keser Torah is well known. Normally there's a Keser on the Aron Kodesh, and that is represents 620. But what's special about 620? Well, the Mefarshim say, the Balaturim says there were 613 mitzvahs, Tariag mitzvahs was given then, plus the seven mitzvahs B'nai Noach, which they already had. That's the Balaturim says that. Others say no, it was 613 mitzvahs, but there's also seven mitzvahs D'Rabbanan, which are not mentioned there, but nonetheless, they are part of the Torah, they're part of the Keser. So 613 is Tariag, and seven are the mitzvahs D'Rabbanan. There's actually quite an interesting discussion of what are the seven mitzvahs to Rabbanon. If you have a look at the last Mishnah of Uktzin, it continues that the Kodesh Baruch, it finishes off there, that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Shai Olamos. Shai is 310, and it was the 310 Olamos, if you multiply 310 by 2, you're going to get 620 again. And the first Yisrael and the Mefarshim explain why it's 2. There's two aspects. There's always usually the simplest aspect, the Shebein Odom Lamakom and Ben Odom Machaveiro, which we're going to see about in a second. So that is the Shai Olamos, which is 600. But there, he has a whole discussion about the other mitzvahs d'rabbanan which were added on to make up the numbers, and he tells us what the seven were. And the seven were, there's a beautiful remez which you can remember, Be'onon Hacham. Be'onon Hacham. It's worthwhile remembering that mnemonic, because the Gemara says in Erevin you should always make simonim la Torah. Whether the simon has to have a meaning of its own is a machlokas Achronim, as to whether the simon is good enough. Just have a simon to remember something. Like you tie a knot in your handkerchief. It hasn't got any meaning, it just reminds you that you've got to do something. So the same thing, simonim may have no meaning. On the other hand, the Amaforishim would say that a simon has to have a meaning so you can remember what's going on. And there's a whole sefer on the simonim of Shas. Is we've gone right through every single simon in Shas and gives you a meaning to the simon, usually Api Kabbalah, and it's a very, very choshev sefer where you've got words in the Shas which don't seem to mean anything except the letters of the names of their Maroim usually, but there is a sefer which tells you that I think it's called Lam Natsach le David, of David Parado, and he goes through every single siman in the Shas telling you what the siman represents. So here, I don't know what the siman Be'onan HaCham might mean. It might mean hot air. But the reason why I say that is because others are mechulik on it, and the siman of the seven the seven mitzvahs rabbanon, the other shittas what the seven mitzvahs are. Not everybody agrees. The Be'onon stands for brachas, ayin stands for erevin, nun stands for Ner, the Hadlakas Ner on Shabbos. Nun stands for Netilas Yodayim. Then you've got He stands for Hallel, Ches stands for Chanukah, and Mem stands for Megillah. So that's a good way of remembering what the seven mitzvahs de Rabbanon are according to that Shita. But that would make up the 620. So we're seeing that the numbers and the letters have great significance. Now, if you go to the second set of Debras, there are changes. First of all, there are 17 more words, I beg your pardon, in the second Debras. And there are 88 more letters. Why they are there, they've got to look at each one to understand why. In the first Debras is Zohar, and the second one is Shomer, and what the other difference, for example, that we said, Lo Tirtzach, Lo Tinov, Lo Tignov, Lo, but in verse Chanan it's not that. In verse Chanan there's a Vav between each one. Each one's connected with the Vav, so we need to know. Then in the first Debras, for example, it says Lo Sachmer, it doesn't mention about Taiv or Lo Sisave, but this Lo Sisave is mentioned in the second Debras. All these are differences. What's going on here? Well, there's a famous Gemara in Baba Kamma which says that there's no letter Tess in the first Dibros. Why not? Because Chas v'Sholom, the Poskot Toivah Mishra, they were smashed. And we don't want the letter Tess, which represents Toiv, to be smashed. So that's what the Gemara says. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara, what it's talking about. Another question, like we said before, which of the three aspects is it? What HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, or is it what was actually in the Luchas? That presumably was actually in the Luchas, because you can see that the Gemara is telling us that there was no test there, because they were smashed, so that must relate to the Luchas themselves, not just the Parsha. But our Parsha certainly has no test. And the Baltrim comes along and says, that explains why there are 17 more words in the second Dibros than in the first. Why 17 words? Because 17 is Gematria Tov. L'chas v'cholom poskot tova. So the second Dibros has 17 more words to indicate that we are have Tov afterwards, but not in the first Dibros. Now, I then decided to try to check the letters. And I found that in the second Dibros there are 88 more letters than in the first Dibros. Why should there be 88? I was thinking, what's 88? Well, 8 is Lamala Minateva. 8 must be doubly Lamala Minateva, so to speak, if that's Shayet. And therefore, it's proving to us that the second Dibros was superior, the Luchas, was superior to the first Luchas, in that they were more Lamala Minateva than the first Dibros. And with that, you can answer all sorts of questions in the differences. Just for example, I asked you before, why it says Lo Sachmod in the first, but in the second one you've got an extra word, Lo Sis Ave. What's the difference between Chemdo and Tavo? Well, Rashi says there's not much difference between them, that's Rashi. However, the Rambam and others say that Chemdo means actually doing an action in order to try to get something. If you had a beautiful tie, you haven't got a tie, but if you had a tie, and I wanted your tie, and I tried to get that tie out of you, and I asked you to say, please sell me that tie, I want that tie. That is Chemdo. But Tavo is not going to say anything. It's in my mind. I look at you, oh, what a wonderful tie that is. I'd like a tie like that. That's Tavo. Now, Chemdo is physical action. That's more mundane. But the second difference is much higher level. You're not even allowed to have taivo, not even allowed to think. What you've got is yours. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you. It's nothing to do with me. Got a problem? Well, you haven't got a tie.
Who said that the first lot of Druchos were intended to be destroyed?
The rest are destroyed. I mean, how did you know in the first place? Moshe the Nevi and they.
Moshe only got permission retrospectively.
Yeah, it could be like we said before, that what went into the Torah was already afterwards. That could be, or it could be that you don't have to worry about things. When they were Levian, they knew, just like we said with Rivka. Eliezer gives Rivka the Aseret HaDibros. Who knew anything about Aseret HaDibros at that time? But that's how it goes. Anyhow, so now, where are we up to? So we said that there are, Lotus Ava, I've explained one difference. There's another very, very fascinating problem, which everybody asks. If you look at the Aseret HaDibros with Shoinos, you'll see that each dibur is divided by a samach, which is a stoma, a small difference, but there's one which is divided by a psucha, only one in the whole of the dibras which has got a pay, a psucha. That means in the Sefer Torah, the whole of the line is left empty. And that is the third and fourth commandments. In between the third and the fourth commandments, there's a psucha, a complete break in the first dibras. In the second dibras, it's not like that. In the second dibras, it's a stoma. Why should it be changed? What's going on here? Why is there one single pesucha in the whole of the Aseret HaDibros? It makes you wonder. Every dibur is divided by a samach. There's a whole shaila about the tenth dibur, because there seems to be a superfluous samach there. There's a whole discussion whether that's right or wrong. Not going into that now, but it's a fascinating topic on its own. But clearly, all the dibras are divided, each one from the other, by a stoma. That's a samach, which is a gap of letters. But then the line continues afterwards, because a stoma means you have a little break to think about what's going on, and then you go back and you continue. So every dibra you have to think about, but then when you thought about it, it's connected with the next dibra. However, if you've got a psuch, it's a complete break. It's completely different from what went before. Why should there be a single pesucha only in the first dibros, but not in the second dibros? Well, the answer, I believe, is this. The difference between the dibros, why they are different, is this. The first dibros had to be available to the whole of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu approached each nation and said, would you like the Torah? And each one said, well, what's in it? And so one nation said, it's a lotitza. Oh, that's not for us. We're thugs. We're murderers. We can't take lotitza. Another one says lotitza. I said, no. How can we keep the midst of our eyes? There's a story that had the English people been there at the time, they would have asked what was in it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have said, Seishas Yomim Ta'avod, you've got to work 6 days a week. And what, we should work 6 days a week? What do you think this is? We're not going to get a Mekabel the Torah for that, etc., etc. And there's a joke about the Lubavitch, they say, what was in it? And they've said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adonai Hashem, oh, that's not for us. That's a joke. Please, I hope there's no Lubavitch here who takes that in the wrong way. But I heard it from the Lubavitcher himself, so I feel it's not inappropriate to repeat it. Anyhow, so everybody rejected. But the point was this: since HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to offer it to the whole of the world, it had to be available to the whole of the world. Now, the rest of the world thinks Anochi Hashem and Lo Yelecho. And don't swear falsely. That's all ben adam lamakom. I can understand that. But when you come to Shabbos, what's Shabbos? Shabbos is a nice rest day. Paro kept Shabbos. Moshe went to Paro and he says to Paro, would you give them a day off for rest because they'll work better afterwards? Oh, yes. He gave them a 6 day week and Shabbos they got off. Why? Because Shabbos was a good rest day. And Kibbud Avim, of course, that's not Ben Adam Lamakam. So they felt there was a complete break between the third commandment and all the rest. So that's why it's got a psucho, because it's got to be available for them. There was a difference. Mashiach came to Yidden. The Yidden felt that it's all Ben Odom Lamokum. Everything. If you serve, you kibbutz Shabbos, of course that's Ben Odom Lamokum. So as far as we're concerned, we don't have a psucho, we have a stummer in the second difference. That's what I would like to say.
How would Parry know that Shabbos is a good day? They're not allowed to keep Shabbos.
They're not allowed to keep Shabbos. All right. They're not allowed to keep the halachas of Shabbos. Now that is exactly the answer to that question. In the first Dibur it says Zachar. When I was a boy, we had neighbours who were very devout Christians, and they got dressed up, and they dressed up, and they had a nice meal, and they drank, etc. A goy can relate to that. But tell the goy he's not allowed to use the telephone. Tell the goy he can't switch an electric light on. What's that? That's Shmira Shabbos. That's not for us.
He has to work, and they're not allowed to work. The goy has to work.
They can't keep Shabbos.
Okay, yeah, because he's not mechuyev in Zachar.
He's also got to keep the work. We're
talking about in those days before, not then.
He can have on Friday or Sunday, he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Every day.
Anyhow, so the point is that Zohar, especially for Yidden to kinei Kiddush, etc., but Goy can also relate to the Zohar. This is what we're saying at the moment. I'm not going into the halachas, I'm going into the aspect of the difference between Zechira, but Shemira is not for Goyim. Therefore, there's a Zohar in the first and a Shomer. And also the Vavim, we mentioned about the Vavs. We understand, Yidden understand, that all the mitzvahs are intertwined. There's an aspect of lo sirtzach in wasting somebody else's time. A guy can't relate to that. You've stolen a person's time. You've killed his life for a couple of minutes. We understand all the mitzvahs are connected. So vav. Mashiach came in the first Dibros. Each one is a separate inyan. Now, if you want to go through all the other differences, the Kli Yikar tells you very, very cleverly how each one is different between the first Dibros and the second. But he doesn't mention the Pesuch or Stuma. That's a Hosofa, which I've just given you. But anyhow, what we're trying to explain is there's a basic difference between the Dibros Rishoinos and the Dibros Acharoinos, right? However, why then are the two Luchos? If in fact we're saying they're all connected, but the answer to that is very simple. There's a Ben Adam Lamokoyim and a Ben Adam Lachaveir. It's true, they're all connected. As far as we're concerned, it's all one thing. Because when you do Ben Adam Lamokoyim, you've got to do Ben Adam Lachaveir with it. When you're learning Torah, don't think, I'm now learning Torah, I don't have to worry about Ben Adam Lachaveira. Of course you have to. If your Chavrusa were to say something which was, you feel stupid, you don't say to him and say, what a stupid thing to say. You don't talk to him like that. You say, maybe we can learn different pshat. Or, have you thought of this? There's a way of dealing with it without upsetting people. You don't ruin a person's feelings, because that's Ben Odom Lamakum. But that Ben Odom Lamakum is connected with Ben Odom Lechaveiro. Now, therefore, the first Dibros, the first five, are known as the Luach Ben Odom Lamakum, and we said Shabbos and Kibbutz is also Ben Odom Lamakum. But the second five is really more Ben Odom Lechaveiro, and that's why the two Luchos are separate. Now, I heard a beautiful chat here. If you take the number of words in the first Luach, it comes out at 146 words. In the second Luach, there were only 26 words. 172 altogether. Why should that be? That would mean that the first Luach had 146 words which had to be squashed up. Whereas the second Luach, the 26 words are all very large because they've got to fill the Luach up. That means to tell us that the Ben Odom Lechaveiro aspect is vital. It's more important, but it's being emphasized to show that the importance is equal to the 146 words of the first Luach. Now that's, again, showing wording and lettering which is relevant to the situation.
The 26 is the Shem Havaya.
So it's also the 26 words of Shem Havaya, which shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is intimately involved in that. Now, that brings me back to Bereishis again. I once heard from the Sasser Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that there are two psukim which are equal in gematria. What are they? Vahavta es Hashem Elokecha, and Vahavta Lerecha Kamocha Ani Hashem, identical in gematria. He told me that. Well, I never accept any gematria without checking. I checked the gematria and it came out to 907. Each one was 907. Years later, I was in Hechalea, and there's a gentleman there who was talking about the word Bereishis, and he said that Bereishis is 1820. Well, what's 1820? 913 is the gematria of Bereishis, but if you take what's called the Nistar, Bez is Yud Tov, the Reish is Yud Shin, Yud is Vav Dalet, right? Where are we up to? Bereishis. Shin is Yud Nun, Tov is Aleph Vav. Anyhow, if you take it all together, you'll find that the Nistar is 907. So 913 is the Nigla, 907 is the Nistar. Together, 1820, which is a remarkable number. Come to that and say if we've got time for it. It's an absolutely remarkable number, 1820. But what interested me was, he said, 907 is the Nistar of Bereishis. That's what Havtah Hashem Elokecha, and Havtah Lecha Kamocha Ani Hashem, which the Tzatzur Rebbe had said. So therefore it's telling us in Bereishis, if you look carefully in Bereishis, you can find the Bein Adam Lamakai, Havtah Hashem Elokecha, and you're going to find Bein Adam Lechaveiro, Havtah Lecha Ani Kamocha Ani Hashem. It's all connected. And we already said before that Bereishis is connected with the associated Yibros, because it's the same number of words, same number of letters, same number of letters in Bereishis as are in the passage before the associated Yibros. But what we're seeing is there are ramazim in the first word of Chumash which are relevant to the Aseret. Now, where do we find 1820 in the Aseret Adibros? This 1820 is an absolutely remarkable number, by the way. First of all, it's if you Koyach Hashem, it says the Koyach is 28, which is the 28 letters of Bereishis, which we mentioned before. Hashem with Aleph Dalet, written Aleph Dalet, that's the Pasuk in Shalom. That's 28 times 65 is 1820. And also, Soid Hashem Lirael, there the Yud Kei Vav, which is 26, times 70 is also 1820. Do you know how many Shemus there are in the Chumash? There are 1820 times Yud Kei in the Chumash. Remarkable. The 1820 letters of. Is it letters? Yeah, in Chumash. Then after that, you come to the first Yud of Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's an absolutely remarkable number, this 1820. And it's actually in the Aseret Adibros, where if you take the Aleph of Anochi, that's Aleph is 1,000, and the final Chaf of Reacho, the final word, Chaf is spelled Chof Pei, Chof is 20, and a final Fei. According to Rashi in Sukkah points out that after you finish Tov, which is 400, you come to the final Chof, Chatan Mem, final Nun, final Bay is 800. So how much is that? Aleph is 1,000, and Chaf is 820. That's 1820 again. You've got that number, and it occurs in all sorts of areas. For example, the difference in the count between Bamidbar and Pinchas, the count of Klal Yisrael, is exactly 1820. There's a reason for it. 1820 represents, somehow or other, this is representing the greatness of Hashem. And therefore, it occurs in all sorts of places. Let's see what else I've missed out. What's this? Let's just finish off with an interesting question which often troubles people. In Parshas Yisro, if you count up the psukim, you'll find there are 75 psukim according to our Masorah. But if you look at the Siman at the end of Yisro, the Siman only says 72. What's gone wrong? Well, it's very easy to work out, because there's a difference between Tam Elyon and Tam Tachton. Now, we have a minhag to say Tam Elyon when it's said in Shul, in Davening. But the other places which only say Tam Elyon on Shavuos, and during the normal Davening we'll say Tam Tachton. It depends on the minhag amokum. But there is what's called a Tam Elyon and Tam Tachton. Tam Elyon, is a lot of reasons why it's called Tam Elyon. One is because all the Guinness are on the top of the word. One is because it's a higher level, etc., etc. It's the way the Dibros were given to us. So Dibros, and Tam Tachton is the other way. Now, in Tam Tachton, we've got 13 psukim. If you have a look at the Aseret Dibros, you'll count 13 psukim. However, if you know the Aseret Dibros and you count, for example, Shabbos is only one dibur, but Lo Tirzach, Lo Tinoch, that's each one's a separate dibur, you'll come out at the end with 10. And that would explain the three discrepancy between the Simon at the end, which is 72, which is Tam Elyon, and the Simon at the beginning, and then the account of the actual psukim, which is 75. That's not difficult. What is difficult is if you go to Voyas Chanan, you'll find, if you count, you'll find counting 122 psukim. What's the Simon for Voyas Chanan? 118 psukim. It's out by four. How can that one be out by four if the other one is only out by three? It's the same as Aseret Dibros. Answer, it's not the same as Aseret Dibros. And there's a whole discussion. How did this come about? In the end, it was puzzling me like anything. I just couldn't work it out until I found in the Ksav HaKabbalah, at the end, he's got an appendix. And in that Ksav HaKabbalah, he gave me the answer. He says, if you go to the old manuscripts, and I think, if not mistaken, it's also in the Taimonim. The Taimonim still say Pasuk and the translation of the Pasuk and Targum. We lay like in a Sefer Torah, the Bar Kura lays a whole lot. But the Taimonim lay Pasuk, and the Metargumon, he translates the Pasuk. The question is, which Pasukim are put together? He says, if you look at the first Aseret Dibros, all 10 Dibros are separate. Masha Ein Kain in the second Dibros, they say the first and the second one together. In other words, there are only 9 Dibros. Oh, there are 10 Dibros, but their first two are connected. In fact, if you look at the Chumash, there's no stoma between the first and the second Dibros anyhow. So they are definitely connected. And he says like this, in the first Dibros, they are not connected because a guy understands, look, you're not allowed to keep idols. Anoch Hashem is different from not keeping idols. Abu Dazara and Anoch Hashem are not the same, necessarily identical. Masha'enke, the second Dibros, which are for us, we know that it's one is the corollary of the other. You can't have one without the other. They must go together. And therefore there's only 9. If there's only 9 Dibros, then you're going to have a discrepancy of 4. And that would explain why Voyas Chanan has a discrepancy of 4, whereas Yisro has a discrepancy of 3. Have I finished time now?
Yes.
Okay, I think we've more or less covered the most things here. In the here, I've made notes of the different points, because it's very difficult to remember all these things. But the I think we've covered the basic idea, but the message to take home is that we hidden have to keep Ben Odom Lamakum and Ben Odom Lachaveru. They go together, absolutely connected together. And that's what we said in Bereishis, is there that the two psukim are 907, and that's our duty. Whatever we do, yes, of course we've got to learn, and we've got to do it, but we can't do one without the other. You've got to learn hard all the time, and at the same time, you've got to be considerate to other people and understand Ben Adam Le Chaver, and that's where I'm going to stop now, so I shouldn't be over Ben Adam Le Chaver.